I can't stop thinking about Lindsay talking about butterflies now, and it just ruined the entire show. So
this is
what happens when we invite Lindsay to be on a show that is sort of serious. And we are recording now, so that's the intro.
This is sort of serious?
Sort of serious, but not entirely.
Okay.
It's I want to believe I was, and I'm glad she did that, actually. I'm glad she said something to interrupt me, because I was going to do that whole the truth is out there opening that I've practiced in my head over and over again. And I've told myself that it sounds really good, and it sounds like clever, and oh, it's really cute. But the moment I'm about to say it, I just think that is the dorkiest thing. Like, I'm going to sound like such a nerd if
it's
I
like
say
it's like stage
that.
Fright.
Yeah, and I don't get stage fright normally. Like, I can say anything to anyone and not get worried, but that intro, for some reason, makes me nervous. I don't know why.
It means you either really, really like it, or you're not fully attached to it yet.
Well, I do really, really like it, because, I mean, the whole inspiration for this show was X-Files, for the most part. Like, I want to believe that's from the X-Files.
I know.
So the truth is out there is a great way to tie it all together, but I cannot do it. You want to turn the sound down on your phone?
I thought I did.
Is this a professional recording?
No, it's not.
It's amateur hour here on Podzilla 1985. Welcome to I Want to Believe. This is our fourth episode. Technically, it's the third on Podzilla 1985 servers, but that's because the third episode that we actually did was a live stream. We did that on Halloween night. So we haven't been back since Halloween night. It's good to see you guys once again. My name is Shannon Young. I'm your host. What?
You see us almost every day.
I was talking about the listeners.
Oh, okay.
It's but you don't see the listeners.
Yeah. I can see them in my mind's eye.
You can see that they listened
in my
to
mind's
the...
eye. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
You do? Explain it then.
Well, it's an eye in your mind.
I'm not going into astrophysics, thank you.
That's not this show anyway. Don't worry. That's a future show. Let me introduce the cast for tonight. Tanner Calvert, not here this evening, could not make it in, so we got someone to fill his spot. I was hoping to get someone who's heavy into the paranormal, heavy into, you know, the mysteries of life that we like to take this little journey on every month or so. And instead, we got
Lindsay.
Then
you're stuck with me.
So Lindsay Wolfgang's here from Tanner Thursday. No, that's not a show anymore.
No,
Podzilla After Dark.
I mean, back in the day.
Yeah, sorry. It's nostalgic November
okay.
on Podzilla After Dark. So my head's still in this nostalgia zone. We got Ali Hebert.
Hello.
Who was regular on Tuesdays.
Yes.
Almost every Tuesday.
Except for Nerds for Hire.
Which didn't air last week or...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, because Jesse was ill. So, and Calvin Hebert down at the end of the table.
What's up?
Good to see you again. Nerds for Hire is the comic book show.
Well, okay.
That Jesse does with Asa and Dalton.
Because, of course.
Yeah. So, on Tuesdays, we have Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man, which is kind of an anything show. I think last week we talked about... What did we talk about last week?
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, Animal Crossing.
Net Neutrality.
Star Wars Battlefront 2, because Dalton was on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have Nerds for Hire, which is the comic show. And then we have I Want to Believe, which is the paranormal show, which is the one you're on right now, Calvin.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah. Now, I just realized that I forgot to plug in the laptop.
Oh, no.
So the battery's dying. So I'm going to go plug that in real quick. While I do that, Allie, lead the group in discussion about...
Oh, snap.
Let's see. What's something that a topic that you can talk about? What is... have you ever seen anything that you couldn't explain? Go.
Have I?
Shannon not being able to stand up. I've never seen that before.
Calvin, have
yes.
you... What is happening?
I think Shannon's dying slowly, but...
Yeah. Well, before we get into the topic of the night, let me tell you about my day. So Calvin and I both work at Gaming Grounds. He works in Jackson. I work in Cape. I don't know how his day started. Mine started because I got up. I stepped into the shower this
and
morning.
Fell in the bathtub.
I didn't fall. My right foot slid out from under me, and my left shin just crushed against the side of the tub. And it immediately started swelling up, and it hurts so bad right now. And then the day was filled with dum-dums.
All sorts of... The intellect of Cape and Jackson combined is negative, I believe.
As the temperature goes down, so does the IQ.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about your day, Allie? Was it better than that? Did you smash anything?
I mean, glass, but...
Was it on purpose, though?
Yeah.
I didn't get to smash anything. I wanted to smash things.
I just spent the day filling web orders.
That's all exciting.
I did some sewing.
Jesus.
Riveting.
I know, right?
Just riveting. So I don't have any paranormal news to talk about today because, in all honesty, we weren't going to do the show tonight. I'm losing my voice. I've been trying to get over a sickness that... By the way, I have had since the Halloween show.
Before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've both been off and on since like mid-October.
But you're more off than on, and I'm more on than off.
Hmm.
Okay.
Now here's what happened. If you caught that live show that we did, where we had the Ouija board and we had the camera set up, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for watching that, by the way. We actually had a bunch of people watch, a lot of comments, and we really appreciate that. What I did during that segment was I said, if there's any demons that want to take me over and possess me, go ahead. I'm allowing you. And I have been...
You were already sick.
Yeah.
But it's worse.
Yeah, but it's also whatever this weird, like, cold plague that has been going around Cape Girardeau for who knows how long. I mean, come on, I had it back in, like, January, and it lasted till mid-March.
Why do you want to take this away from me? Why can't you let me give the people a show?
Because I'm more willing to believe that the demon made your leg hurt this morning than is perpetually keeping you sick.
Do you believe in demonic possession?
Not, I believe that people think they're possessed demonically, but it's probably something else.
So you think it's a mental disorder that's misdiagnosed?
Not even necessarily a mental disorder.
A placebo effect.
Well, it could be a placebo effect, but that still kind of qualifies into mental disorder. I mean, like, it's just something unexplained. It could be a demon, sure, but because you don't have any proof, it still remains in the classification of unexplained.
What about you, Allie? Do you believe in demonic possession?
I don't know. It's a hard one for me because I do have a lot of belief in mental illness being a thing and can be not diagnosed or diagnosed improperly. And we have a lot of information on the brain, but we're still nowhere close to fully understanding it. So
you put your faith in science?
Sometimes.
The brain is very weird.
Yeah.
But you don't believe in... Do you believe in demons?
Yeah. I mean, there's...
Also, I want to point out that I was bragging about how Audacity never messes up on me.
And now it's messing
it just,
up.
It just paused. I don't know if we lost anything in that, like, 20 seconds. But if we did, I apologize. Mm. It crashed on Jesse 4 times on Nerd Up.
Jeez. Wow.
4 times. They lost all kinds of stuff. So now, we'll hope to avoid that.
Did yours actually just crash or did it just like...
It just paused. I think from what I remember what Jesse told me is that it didn't crash. And Jesse, I'm wrong. If you're listening to this and I'm wrong, I'm sorry. You can correct me. But it just like stopped recording. Like it was still working, but it just like...
It just
does
stopped.
Like mine does, the needle just either stops or it moves, but nothing's recording.
Hmm.
But either way, they lost a bunch of stuff on there, and I don't think we lost anything. It was just a quick thing. Hopefully that's over. Yeah. And maybe it's because we're talking about demons.
Maybe
the
that's
demons
the
don't
actual...
like to be talked about.
I'm not sure if computers believe in demons.
Do
to
they
be
believe
possessed
in
by.
Anything?
If a computer goes to a demonic website, can it get a demonic virus?
666.com.
Did the computer go to the website by itself, or did someone take it there?
Well, maybe you were possessed by the demon, and you went to the site. Maybe the demons were the friends we made along the way.
I thought this episode was about aliens.
I thought this was semi-serious.
Spoiler alert.
I am
alert.
So lost right now.
So we did that show at the end of October. I was actually leading to something.
Okay.
We did the show at the end of October. In looking for a topic for the evening, I came across a news article about something that also happened at the end of October that got me thinking. One of the things that I am most interested in life is other life forms in the universe. Because I don't know how you guys feel about aliens and extraterrestrials and whatnot, but I believe that if you truly believe that the entire universe and all of its galaxies and solar systems were just designed for one planet, then there's something wrong with you.
You're very short-sighted.
So can we all start by agreeing that we all believe in extraterrestrial life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then. That's something.
Also, I mean, because it's technically been proven, we have found life, albeit microscopic, on other planets.
That did not... Plus, if I didn't believe, why would I like sci-fi as much as I do?
I mean...
Did you see that GIF of like the different equations? And, it doesn't correlate. I don't believe in dragons, but I like the movie.
How to Train Your Dragon.
That's too easy. I was gonna go for the one with
Rain of Fire.
Yes, that's the one with Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey. Yeah.
Didn't even have to say something.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Rain of Fire, where they fought the dragons.
I know.
Anyway, so now that we all agree that we believe in extraterrestrial life and things in the universe, the bigger question is, have they visited Earth? And we're going to talk about that tonight. Here's the article that that I saw that made me think about this. And I'm going to read straight from, this is from popularmechanics.com. You okay there?
Yeah, I was yawning. I didn't want it to be loud in the mic. I
appreciate that. This is from Popular Mechanics.
Mechanics.
I'm Matthew McConaughey now, and I can't get it out of my head. From Popular Mechanics by a author named Kyle Mizukami.
Okay.
Yeah. Something flew over the West Coast in late October, that much we know, but the mystery plane disappeared before anyone could figure out what it was and has defied all attempts at identification since. Was it a classified U.S. government aircraft, a flying saucer, or something else? The War Zone, which I don't know what that is, but I assume it's a publication, reports that in the afternoon of October 25th, air traffic controllers started querying commercial airline pilots flying between Portland and Seattle, asking if they could help identify a mystery object. The object in question didn't have a traffic collision avoidance system, transponder turned on, was not responding to radio communication, and most intriguingly, could not be picked up on radar. Numerous pilots reported they saw the aircraft, but none came close enough to identify it. Ultimately, Oregon. Wow, I almost said oregano. Air National Guard F-15 fighters from Portland International Airport were sent to investigate, but saw nothing. The War Zone article also cites two Reddit users familiar with the incident and who seem to corroborate much of what the air traffic controller audio has to say. And the article goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing there, but basically they saw something in the sky that could not be identified, that could not be contacted, did not show up on radar. Multiple pilots reported seeing it. And identified it as like a white speck kind of off in the distance. No one could get close enough to truly see it because it was going so fast.
Hmm.
But no one knows what it is. It's a big mystery. Like they all agree that they saw something, but they don't know what they saw. And this is better than, you know, when people, and no offense to people that have seen UFOs, but people that see UFOs and don't know what it is. I mean, a lot of the times, I don't have an exact statistic, but most reports of UFOs are naturally occurring objects. They're things that, you know, can't be identified. They're aircrafts, they're a planet that you see off in the distance, stuff like that. But the ones that are truly unidentified are really, really interesting to me. And this looks like it's a truly unidentifiable case. So, the big question is, what was it? Is it a government aircraft? Is it a UFO? Have you ever seen a UFO, first off?
Personally, no, not that I couldn't rationalize. Like, I've seen things in the sky that I don't know what they are, but I could reason that they weren't anything unnatural.
And you have to remember that the definition of UFO, unidentified flying object, is not alien in nature.
No, it's not.
You know, a UFO can be used to describe anything that cannot be identified.
Wasn't originally created as a military term to identify, to state that we see planes not of our nation.
Yeah.
It was,
And Lindsay, you're a fan of the band Foo Fighters, right?
Yeah.
Bonus trivia. You know what a Foo Fighter is?
I'm assuming it's something alien related.
It's what soldiers in World War II, when they saw UFOs, they called them Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why I made the Foo Fighters into aliens for one of my projects.
I remember that.
Yeah. Hmm. Ben Affleck is also an alien.
Well, maybe. Why?
Because he came to Cape, and there was a crash in Cape. He was coming home.
I mean, I live in Cape. I mean, what is your...
Because he's famous and he was recently here and I could find a picture of him in front of something that said Cape Girardeau.
Didn't you used to be Ali Bear? Isn't your name Stretch Armstrong now? Because you were really reaching for that one.
That was a... I think you need to work on that.
I mean, I already turned in the project and passed the class.
No, I'm talking to Shannon. That whole Reach Armstrong thing.
Didn't your name used to be Eddie Valiant? Isn't it Jack Daniels now? That's from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Mm-hmm. That was a bonus one. I threw that in for you. Allie, have you ever seen a UFO? Have you ever seen an object in the sky that you could not identify?
Not that I can recall.
Lindsay.
Yes.
Tell me about your UFO.
But it wasn't really a UFO.
Are you talking about the smoke ring?
Yes.
That was pretty
cool. It was really freaky.
And it's things like that that I've seen that I could reason being a natural thing.
Yeah.
That and like we've seen lights not moving at all randomly up in the sky that's not part of a tower.
There's at least three instances in my life where I saw something truly unexplainable. Like, no nonsense. I clearly see this. This isn't like something that I'm imagining. This isn't a false memory. The one that sticks out in my mind most was when I was probably my early teens and I was living in Hudsonville in Mounds, between Mound City and Mounds. I looked out the night sky and I saw three lights next to each other traveling. And I wrote about this on Blogzilla once. They were traveling next to each other. Almost looked like three, like if you saw a plane, you know, has lights next to each other. Mm-hmm. It looked like that. But then what happened is the lights kind of detached and one moved downwards and to the left. One kind of moved upwards and around. And then one just kind of went up and down bobbing. And it was so weird that I called my mom in just to look at it because I wanted to make sure someone else saw it. So she came into the room and we both watched these things just dancing around in the night sky, just moving back and forth, up and down. Made no sense at all. Could not explain it. I still can't explain it to this day. I have no idea what it was. That it's like the ghost story I always tell where the ghosts walk towards me in my own house and I move out of the way. That to me is some of the most compelling evidence that I've ever seen that makes me believe that this is a real thing, that it could be a real thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not here to state whether or not that I saw it. I definitely saw it. The question is, what is it? Like, I'm not here to tell people that they've not seen a UFO. If you think you've seen a UFO, you probably have. The question is, what exactly did you see?
Well, and how old were you when this happened?
Early teens.
Okay. So this is,
this was
well beyond mid-90s. The, popularity of drones.
Well yeah. before. Yeah. So drones were unheard of at the moment.
Now one big thing is, everybody and their dog has a drone.
Right.
of some kind, even if it's not one that can fly a camera around.
Right.
But you usually can tell because most of the drones aren't perfectly stable.
And they're small.
And, well, you know. I mean, at night with lights on them, they could just appear to be this alien thing in the sky. And I'm using alien as an unknown, not alien as an extraterrestrial.
Right.
But you'll see that they will bob and they have this weird inertia to them where they kind of swing when they turn because they're dictated by aerodynamics.
Yeah, the way they're controlled, the way that they fly.
Most UFOs, especially ones that are reported on by military entities, and there are several, like, bona fide accounts of things in the sky that the military has said, yeah, we have no clue what that is.
Right.
Those seem to move unnaturally. They stop suddenly. They accelerate well beyond what we're capable of as humans.
Make no noise. Silent.
They're either silent or they make incredible noise.
Yeah.
And it's usually if they make noise, it's at once and then they're done.
Right.
Or it's as they're ascending, like they make a noise to break atmosphere or something.
The government actually had a study they were doing on unidentified flying objects called the Project Blue Book that they discontinued years ago, long, long time ago. And some of the cases did end up being unidentified, you know, like unexplainable. They literally said, no, we have no idea what this could possibly be. And thanks to the Freedom of Information Act, you can actually get a lot of the information from those reports and stuff. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. The stuff that you get is half blacked out.
Even
with FOIA, it's still blacked out.
Well, there's also another agency. There is actually an American agency that deals with UFOs. And they have a list of substantiated claims that they actually list as unidentified. They don't know what they are.
Are you talking about MUFON or like a government?
That might be it. There is a government agency. Well, I'm not sure if it's funded by the government, but it's an association with government agencies, at very least. But it's... I think it's in D.C. I don't know exactly where it is. But they go through, specifically in America, because it's government, but and they find UFO claims, and they try and figure out what they are.
That's the job I want.
It sounds like a cool job.
Yeah. So you get abducted.
Well, or you get flashy-thinged. And
I'm not entirely sure I haven't been abducted.
And then flashy-thinged?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's a topic for later. The Chilean government, the Navy actually, released a video last year. Have you seen the video they released?
Mm-hmm.
Of, Allie, I don't know if you've seen this, and Lindsay, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's a airborne craft that as it's flying along is releasing some kind of gas behind it.
I feel like you showed me the video.
I think I did. And they don't know what that is. They have no idea what the object is. They have no idea what it's spraying. It's one of the better videos of, you know, proof of whatever it is. Like,
yeah,
whatever it is. No one knows.
Because the weird thing is, it like we're posing this as an alien extraterrestrial thing, but it could be, you know, other governments.
It could very well be the government. Yeah. That's one
like
of the things.
Some
I was,
weird version of espionage, or
one of the things I was going to throw out there when talking about this. I was kind of give a history, not so much a history of UFO contact in the United States or in history, but just kind of a jumping off point. We talked about the Battle of Los Angeles in our very first episode, which is a classic case.
I think we also talked about the Dark Knight.
Yeah, the satellite that appears, and now there's I forget the name of it. What is it? Oamua, something like that.
Is it Hawaiian? It sounds.
It's named after Hawaiian. Okay. Oh God.
Well, while you're looking it up, another thing to
it's the interstellar object that entered our atmosphere in the past week or two. It's the very first visitor from another galaxy
that's come into orbit.
That's come into orbit and left. It's already come and gone. And it's got a Hawaiian name, and I feel so stupid that I can't remember it. But the thing about it was like, and some people believe that it was extraterrestrial. Because did you see it? The artist renderings of it?
Technically, it is extraterrestrial.
Well, I mean like of intelligent life.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was supposed to be an asteroid, is what they say it is. But unlike most asteroids, which are kind of, I don't want to say ball-shaped, but you know what I'm trying to say,
they're rock.
Yeah, this one was elongated. It looked like a cigar, kind of.
Which
is a classic UFO
descriptor.
Right. So some people thought that this was, if not a UFO ship, that it may be some kind of testing. You know, it's like they're testing the waters maybe to see what it is. And then, like you said, the Black Knight obviously is something that, if you don't know what the Black Knight is, look it up. It's fascinating.
Or you can give a quick little run of what it is, because I don't know what it is.
It's an orbiting object that is in such perfect orbit that humans today still would have, like, you would have to be the dumbest, luckiest person to get there.
Okay.
And it's thought that you can only get there from coming into our orbit, not leaving from the
orbit. Okay.
From the ground.
And it's apparently a satellite.
Okay.
Well, it's a satellite because it's orbiting us.
Yeah.
But it's giving off a signal.
Yeah, and no country takes credit for it.
Okay.
And it's a constant signal, as I think.
And it only comes every so often. Like, it actually goes away and comes back.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It shows up. I don't remember how often it shows up, but it shows up every so often. And there's no explanation for it that has been given. No country claims it. No one knows what it is.
We can't decipher it. There seems to be a frequency to the signal, but there's
no one can tell what.
Yeah,
it is.
We don't. If there's a code to it, we don't know it. If there's a, it's trying to do something.
Okay.
We don't know what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well. Cool is one word for it.
Terrifying.
Do you think Trotty?
If it was a government, but they were doing something top secret, they would deny it so they wouldn't have to answer more questions?
Absolutely. And again, we're going to get to the government. Let's just start with the government. I was going to go back to that Cape crash you were talking about. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay. Well, can we go back to the cigar thing real quick?
Real quick.
Because
and then we'll get to government.
The classic UFO is the disc, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But
made famous by, I forget the guy's name. He's a photographer. I think he was in the 30s or 40s. He took pictures of all the flying saucers. And that's right. Where the term came from. Flying saucer was from his pictures. And I think most of them have been discredited at this point as being hoaxes.
Yeah.
But the term stuck.
Most of his.
Right.
Yeah. The cigar shape is a common shape with UFOs and USOs, which is unidentified submergible objects or submerged objects, whatever. But there are several accounts where the cigar-shaped UFOs go into the water or come out of water, seemingly, you know, defying all physics because they don't have, like, we don't know how you can generate something from underwater to above water without losing speed. It just comes right up.
And that's become way more prominent in the last couple of years. I had no idea what a USO was up until a couple of years ago. There's a show that I watch called Unsealed Alien Files, which is a very good show, by the way. Like, it's hokey. Lindsay, you remember Alien Files, the one
yes.
I watch?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good show, but it's a little hokey. But I had first heard about USOs from that, and that literally they think that they're underwater bases. And that's how these UFOs go undetected, is because they're not coming from the atmosphere. They're coming from underwater. They're coming from, you know, underground, underwater.
And we actually know a whole lot more about our atmosphere than we do about our waters.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But, it, you know, again, is it alien or is it government? And that's where we'll start at here, because...
Or is it subterranean? It could just be an...
underground race of people? Nah, I don't want that.
Mulvan.
Or reptilians, or, you know, whatever you want to call
reptilians
them.
Reptilians are aliens. The lizard people.
They're supposedly, they're like aliens that came here before humans evolved or something. It's a weird theory.
I absolutely hate that theory, by the
really?
Way. Really? Okay, I don't want to be that guy, but my aliens are about 4 foot tall, 5 foot tall. They have giant heads, big black eyes, and little slits for mouths.
And they're gray.
And they're gray.
Well,
they're
these grays. Are the Slendermen.
Yeah.
Kind of things.
Because there's apparently, like, there's not just one alien species. There's apparently multiple alien species that have visited the Earth, but the classic one that most people think of are the Greys, as they're called. But a lot of people don't even believe that. Okay, and here's where I'm going to get real with you. As much as I want to believe, there it is again. Mm-hmm. As much as I want to believe in UFOs and alien contact, the chances of something like that actually happening are so slim, and even if they did occur, and these were UFOs visiting the Earth, why would aliens just kind of come around, fly through our sky a little bit, and leave? And they've been doing it for at least 50, 60 years that we know of.
Well, one of the theories for the behavior of aliens, if aliens are true, right, is that we are a project.
They're observing.
Prometheus.
Sort of. That kind of goes really far with it, but it's more of a, even if they didn't seed humans, right, to the Earth, they aren't the genesis of humanity, they are looking at humanity as a intelligent race that will eventually become spacefaring and therefore will have to be interacted with.
We're their ant farm.
Yeah, kind of.
Pretty much. Yeah.
We're something to be watched to make sure that we don't just suddenly appear and have, like, nukes flying everywhere because...
We're on track.
Right, we're on track. Right, right. We are very stupid as a species.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems that human beings have is our arrogance in what we understand versus what we don't understand.
And our self-destructive nature.
And they kind of go hand in hand because we're so confident in what we know about science and about the atmosphere and the history of the universe and stuff like that. Versus the fact that we really don't know. Like, we can make theories and guesses all we want about the Big Bang and intelligent life on other planets and the afterlife, like we talked about in the first episode, but we really don't know anything. Mm-mm. It's just we have that mentality of if I can't see it, then it doesn't exist. Yeah. You know, show me the proof. That's a good way to live, because you don't want to believe anything anyone tells you just because it sounds good.
Yeah, but living in a bubble is boring.
It is, and I think once you start relying on what you already know and stop looking for what you don't know, that's where you make your biggest mistakes.
So I think I mentioned this in the first episode, actually, but the idea of ignorance increases the more you know. So you have a circle, like imagine your knowledge is a circle. As you add more knowledge, that circle increases.
You have
but
more
so
questions.
Does all the area around that circle that is what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So your ignorance, quote unquote, to the rest of the universe increases as you gain knowledge.
And we're pretty ignorant.
And we are vastly ignorant.
And there's also an issue with the fact that we're emotional. We're emotional. We have a lot of fear of things we don't know. And that's why it can be dangerous whenever we just kind of appear somewhere that's new to us and we just get scared.
And we tend to act before we think.
Yeah.
Not only that, but if you imagine if there was an intelligent life out there that has been studying us and knows our history,
mm-hmm.
they know better than to just show up. I think it was Eddie Griffin, the comedian, who was talking about this once. I watched one of his late night specials, and he talked about how, you know, we kill each other over black and white.
Mm-hmm.
This guy shows up, the way he looks, what are we going to do to him?
Well, do you ever see the movie Paul?
Yes.
There's a rant he goes on where he's like, well, where are the rest of you? And he goes, the alien goes on a rant about, they put my face on lunchboxes, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, they've been drip feeding you my face, our species, for years now, so that you wouldn't have an anxiety attack when you see me.
Right. <It's> like, they've been coaching you. They're trying to ease you into this. I used to believe very much that, you know, I believed in UFOs and aliens, and I expected that at some point in my lifetime, we would make contact with intelligent life from another planet. I did. But the older I get, the more jaded I get, and the more I believe that most UFOs, most alien encounters are government. I really do. You remember the Phoenix Lights?
Mm-hmm.
If you guys don't know what the Phoenix Lights are, look it up. It's, again, one of the most fascinating things you'll ever see. It was a series of lights that appeared over the city of Phoenix in 97, 98, somewhere in the late 90s,
I
believe.
Sounds right.
And they stayed there for, they appeared twice or maybe three times, and they stayed for hours. And they just hovered over the city, and they more lit up as time went on. And the official explanation for this was flares, like military flares. Go look at the video. You will very
those
clearly see
flares.
Those were not flares. Most people assume, you know, in the community that it was a UFO. And it's one of the best arguments I could see for a UFO because of just how damn mysterious it is. But then I heard an alternate theory that apparently this could have been broadcast from Area 51 as a distraction. Because, and I started to think about that. It's like, well, that makes sense. If you're the government and you're conducting secret experiments, you're conducting test flights for new aircrafts, things like that. How do you hide something like that? You hide it in plain sight. You plant misinformation. You direct people to think it's one thing. If a guy sees an object in the sky and tells everybody, I just saw a military craft, people are going to ask questions. If a guy sees something in the sky and says, I saw a UFO, people are going to either disbelieve him, or the ones that do believe him, it's not going to go anywhere because it's part of pop culture now, you know?
Yeah.
So they can hide this in plain sight of us. So how do we know that these alien contacts, these abductions aren't military experiments? How do we know that UFOs aren't military aircrafts, or at the very least, they're purposely put there by the military to distract us from what they're actually doing? Because if you don't think that the military is doing things right under your nose, you can look through history at all of the terrible things that they've done to their own people.
Yep.
Like Agent Orange. Mm-hmm. We've been watching The Punisher lately, so Agent Orange is in the news. So it's not out of the question that the government would do this to us to distract us so they could get away with more crap. What do you think about that?
So there's a popular theory, and this... Several of these theories exist, but the one that I like is that Area 51 is the cover.
For the actual base?
They have... Whenever you start looking into aliens and UFO, the first thing you go to is Area 51, because that's the thing that everybody knows. And it's where Roswell is and all that.
Yeah.
But as soon as you start looking into other things, you'll either jump over to, like, Germany during World War II... Or you'll go to a place that they call the Proving Grounds, which is another base in America. And a lot of people think that Area 51 is the flashy, you know, distraction from the Proving Grounds. Because the Proving Grounds are named so because they did tests of, like, fighter pilots and just aircraft in general. But it's a, like... several layer deep base that goes underground and nobody really knows how deep it is, and there's reports of like actual firefights that come out of this place.
I think I heard about this. I knew it by another name though, because this is the
place.
It
has an official base name because it is an official base, but it's called something very unassuming, and its official purpose is something, you know, it's just to test aircraft and to store aircraft now, I believe. But it's way too big of a base for that to be its only purpose. Like, that would kind of be waste.
Silly.
Yeah.
They have a lot of aircrafts.
That's true, but how many of them are just, you know, sitting there?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't been there.
And Area 51 is huge. Apparently, the Proving Grounds are even bigger.
So I found the Dugway Proving Ground.
Yeah, that's...
Which is one that they said... ufologists, concerned citizens, have suggested that whatever covert operations may have been underway at that location were transferred from Area 51 to this place, and that this place is the real hot spot. There's one that I'm thinking of, though, then I don't think it's this one, but there was another lab where apparently they were doing tests on extraterrestrials, and at some point the extraterrestrials rebelled, and there was a huge firefight, and a lot of people got killed in that. Of course, that's
Yeah, it's all...
Just try to tell someone that with a straight face and see how they look at you. You know.
But the...
The UFO community gets a real bad rap by the kooks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The thing I'm talking about, though, is you see this even in the pop culture. All the movies talk about Area 51. Only, like, the conspiracy crazy theorist one talk about this place. Because it does have stories attached to it that are a little bit over the top, or a lot of bit over the top. But it also has all these weird inconsistencies with it that you would expect to see in Area 51. But because Area 51 is, like, the overtly secret...
It's the Holy Grail.
Sort of.
It's the Holy Grail for UFO enthusiasts.
It's the one that they know everybody's looking at.
Right.
So they just leave everything normal.
And there's nothing that happens there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've seen people that have recorded near Area 51 and have caught lights or mysterious things. But for the most part, anyone that's gotten close to it, they don't capture anything. It's just a military base and not a very active one. But it's the secrecy around it. The fact that they fly you in if you work there. Mm-hmm. You're flown in. You have no idea how to get there. They fly you in every day to that base to work. You can't drive. It's kill on sight if you sneak onto that base. Like,
if you're past a certain point,
Once you get to a certain point, they will literally shoot you. I remember Jesse Ventura in one of his episodes of, I don't even remember the name of the show now, which is sex. I love the show.
It's one of your conspiracy things.
Yeah, I think it's called maybe Conspiracy Theories or something.
Maybe.
But Jesse Ventura went there and got so far, and the guy just stood in front of him and said, "You cross this line, I will shoot you." Mm-hmm. And Jesse Ventura had to back away. But yeah, it's, if you tell everyone, don't go there.
That's where they're going
to
go.
That's where they're going to flock to.
Don't press this button.
Groot. Don't hit that button.
No.
And it makes you want to hit that button even more.
Yeah, exactly. And that it's a misdirection to Area 51 when there are so many other things just in America, much less the whole world, that are even weirder than Area 51 is made to be.
Yeah, if you are a UFO enthusiast and you are interested in what we're talking about and all you know is Area 51 or all you know is Roswell, New Mexico, there is a laundry list of incidents and places that will blow your mind.
Oh, yeah.
There are cases that are legitimately unexplained. And that's why I can't say with a straight face that I 100% believe that it's the government. Because there are some things that are so baffling that they, you know, I don't know. Have you ever heard of the Betty and Barney Hill case?
Yes.
Not by that name, maybe.
It was in, I think, the 50s.
50s.
Yeah. It was a married couple, Betty and Barney Hill.
Is it them driving and they lose time?
Yeah. Okay. And they were abducted and they both gave similar accounts when they were put under hypnosis about what happened and they lost time. Cases like that are just so odd, so unexplainable that it makes you wonder. Because it's scary to think that our government would trick us and may have something going on in secret. But even scarier than that is to think that these things are real and the government knows about it. And they're trying to divert your attention from it anyway. And
or they're going, or they're helping.
Yeah, because there was rumors of a pact between, what is this? Let me look it up, because it's called like the Alien Treaty, with Eisenhower. Yeah, in, was it 1954? Nah, I'm not going to try to look it all up. But apparently that Eisenhower made a pact with aliens, to provide them research material in exchange for some of their technology. Because if you really think about it, I mean, think about it. Think of how much we grew technologically between 1900 and 2000.
Yeah. Astronomically?
In 100 years.
We did like 4,000 years of tech growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so much of it occurred after Roswell. So much occurred after these UFO crashes. So who's to say that it didn't happen? And you might think, well, that's ridiculous. That's so far-fetched.
No,
well, of
it's
course
not.
It is. No, it is. It's far-fetched. But you know what else was far-fetched at one point? That the Earth was round.
Yep. You know what else was far-fetched? A bomb that splits an atom and causes a huge... An atom, the tiniest thing... Well, not the tiniest thing, but an insanely, insurmountably tiny thing gets split, and it releases so much energy that it could doom the entire human race.
Just because you have a hard time believing something doesn't mean that it's not true. Just because you can't wrap your head around something that sounds fantastical doesn't mean that it's not possible. Like, people used to dream and then they would try to achieve those dreams or prove them. Now we're just so content in our science and our knowledge that you say something like that and people go, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, and
I'm sure cars were stupid at one point too.
Oh yeah,
they still are.
Just watch It's Always Sunny and Max defends for
stupid science bitches. Yeah. Absolutely.
So even today, like back during, you know, World War II, before we dropped the bomb was insurmountable. How could you have a single bomb that did that much damage? Keep in mind that before this, we were carpet bombing places as our main source of assault, aerially at least. And I'm going to use the term spooky action. Technically, it's teleportation. Well, it's sort of teleportation. But this has been achieved by humans. Humans have teleported atoms. It's official. We can teleport stuff. That sounds so mind-blowingly different from what we've been taught by science should be able to happen, that it, if it weren't scientists bringing forward this information, we wouldn't believe them. And so when a normal person sees something fantastical and goes, hey, there's this thing.
You're like, nuh-uh.
What are your credentials? Like, we barely believe the scientists who discovered it in a giant CERN super collider.
Yeah.
Super collider.
The Nazis in World War II, the Germans, were not obsessed, but they used a lot of their resources to research and conduct occult experiments.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole Wolfenstein thing is based on a truth that the Nazis were obsessed with the occult and that they tried to create weapons, you know, that were, I don't want to say magical, but they
super
natural, yeah. Supernatural weapons. You talk about teleportation. You've heard of the Philadelphia experiment, the Philadelphia experiment, it was in
submarine.
It was in Philadelphia.
It was in Philadelphia. And I don't know if it was a submarine or if it was just a ship. I think it was a ship. It was 1943. They were trying to use cloaking device on a ship. What happened, if you believe the rumor, is the ship that they used the cloaking device on disappeared. But not because it was cloaked. It actually reappeared on the other side of, I think, like in near the California coast.
The other ocean.
Yeah. Appeared there for a few seconds. People reported seeing it, and then it disappeared again. And when it came back, it was in Philadelphia again, and some of the crew members were lost. Some were fused to the hull. People were, like, inside of the ship, the walls. Of course, the government says it doesn't. It's not true. But when you look at the technology we have now, who's to say that we didn't experiment with this in the 40s when we had no idea what it was? Remember, we're a country that turned chemicals on our own soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
We're, we're a country that gave blankets with smallpox on them to the Indians to
wipe
them
out. And we're not even the worst country out there at this kind of thing.
We're not. Just have you ever heard of Unit 731?
I feel like you've told me about it.
Unit 731 in Japan during World War II conducted the worst experiments possible on people. They gave them diseases. They gave them gangrene. They cut pregnant women open and to see how long the baby would live. They did such atrocious war crimes, just atrocities. Mm-hmm. And when the United States, when we won the war, what did we do with the scientists from Unit 731?
Hired them.
We hired them. We gave them immunity, took their technology and their research, and used it to develop our own weapons. And you're telling me that a government that does that would not experiment on its own people using alien technology recovered from crash ships?
Well, and not to, like, belittle the point, I guess, but because it was terrible what they did. But it did set science forward, especially medical science, forward several years.
In a horrible way.
In just the worst way possible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so did the atom bomb did the same thing. It set our arms forward, I don't even know how far, but it just did it in the most horrible way.
But how much of the technology was legitimately farm-raised by human scientists within... within 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And how much of it could have possibly been recovered by intelligent life that was more intelligent than us, that either made a deal...
Reverse engineering.
Exactly.
I can't talk.
That's exactly right.
Well, and even without reverse engineering, the blanket just facet materials that the thing uses slash are made out of. You know, we use... Say we get a hold of some engine that an alien ship uses, right? It's not going to use fuel like we use, but we'll be able to identify the elements that the fuel is made of, and we'll be able to go, oh, this is a precious resource.
Yeah.
And if it's a common resource on Earth, then suddenly it'll all seemingly disappear, or, you know, it'll go up in stock. It's you can see correlations throughout history that don't really make sense until like 20 or 30 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think back to, say, 100 years ago, like right now, Lindsay, mm-hmm. I'm recording this on a laptop mm-hmm. while Lindsay is on her phone playing a game. A guy's coughing outside. That's unrelated. 100 years ago, we would have been sitting around candlelights and
talking.
We wouldn't have 12 TVs around us.
Yeah. Look around you at how much technology has grown since the 1900s.
I mean, even just 20 years ago, we might have a TV in a household.
The technological difference between when I was a child versus when Allie was a child mm-hmm. is, and that's only a 14-year difference, is so significant. It's like another world. And I sometimes have a hard time believing that we did it on our own, that this was in no way helped by some kind of extraterrestrial being who either came to Earth to help, came to Earth accidentally and was, our government did what our government does.
Oh, yeah.
but it's, because the government will lead you to believe that it's so impossible that you shouldn't believe it and you're an idiot for believing it. That's why you should question it. You should question everything.
Yeah. If somebody says, no, you're stupid, and it's not blatantly obvious why that's stupid, you should question it. That's mm-hmm. how you learn.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because some things are blatantly stupid.
Well, sure. Like, don't.
Scientology.
Don't touch the stove that's hot, go ow hot, and then go, oh, touch I'm going to touch that again. That's
Leela bring fire? No, no, no. We're good on fire. Stove indeed hot. Mm, anyway.
Professor. Lava. Hot.
Talking about, we only got about 13 minutes left because once we get on a roll, we really get going. We were talking about Roswell earlier and Area 51, and you said, you know, Area 51 is the one that everyone looks at.
Yep.
And Roswell is the same way. You've actually been to Roswell.
I have.
Tell me what Roswell is like.
He came back with an alien.
A blow-up doll alien. Exactly what it sounds
that
like.
That sounded terrible. Absolutely terrible.
It was also a church trip? It's concerning.
Weird. A church trip to Roswell, New Mexico?
Well, it was... Okay, so it was a trip to go on... what do they call them? A retreat?
Mission trip.
Yeah, mission trip. But it was going through New Mexico, right? So we stopped at Roswell. And it was mostly me. I really wanted to stop here.
Let's just make a pit stop here.
Isn't Zane Laney from Roswell? Or he's close to Roswell, isn't he?
I think he's further up. Is he?
I think he's near Roswell, if I remember correctly. Because he said he's been to Roswell or he's close to Roswell.
I thought he was further out to California.
Zane, hit me up. Anyway.
So Roswell is, by and large, just a tourist trap now.
Right.
But it's a really small town for being a tourist trap. But, you know, whatever. The interesting parts were when we were coming into the town and when we were leaving, you would see, like, the normal people, like, where, you know, they go into the main street to work the touristy places and then they go home to a non-touristy area because nobody wants to live around tourists.
Right.
They all seemed perfectly normal. And then the city just stopped. And you're on this road forever.
It's just like desert.
And it's desert. And then I saw a sign that said Area 51. And, you know, this was a long time ago. I don't know if it was on the same road as leaving Roswell, but it's close enough by that you would start seeing signs if you drove long enough. And you would see, like old shacks that haven't been maintained in forever. And they're not Area 51 property. They're just kind of deserted. Nobody wants to be around there anymore. And that was more interesting to me than the, you know...
The tourist attraction.
The funhouse alien things.
Well, the blow-up alien doll.
Yeah.
Well, that's like when, you know, every time Halloween rolls around, there's always someone that says, hey, let's go on this haunted tour.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't want to go on a haunted tour. Mm-mm. I want to investigate haunted places. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to tourist Roswell. I want to go to... where the UFO crashed in 1947. I want to see the farm. Mm-hmm. Because it is, as much as Roswell is just the whore of the UFO community at this point.
Sadly.
Yeah. It has historical significance because this is the place where I forget which paper it was, but it actually said in its headline, UFO recovered by the United States Air Force, and then retracted their statement the next day or the day after that, saying that it was a weather balloon.
And several people have come forward saying that the military told them to retract it.
Right. Because the term fake news gets thrown around a lot these days. It really does.
Yeah.
But, you know, most newspapers, most journalists would not run with a headline that was completely built on lies. Because people do fact check.
Especially not one that fantastical and kind of like just
front
off
page
the cuff.
News of United States Air Force. I mean, if it was the National Enquirer, sure, they're a bunch of idiots. but an actual newspaper wouldn't do that. But even before 1947, and Tanner and I alluded to this on the first episode of I Want to Believe, and I'm going to bring it back now, was I know a lot of our listeners are in Cape Girardeau, or a lot of our listeners know Cape Girardeau because a lot of them are for like Cape Championship Wrestling, and they come here to wrestle. We live in Cape Girardeau, obviously. This is where we record the show. We've been here for a while now, going on 3 years in April, recording the show, by the way. Think about that. The first, if I remember correctly, the first documented case of a UFO crash and retrieval in the United States history was in 1941, 6 years before Roswell, outside of Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Of the Reverend Huffman from the Red Star Baptist Church was called out to administer last rites to a plane crash, he thought. And when he got there, he found three alien bodies, classic grays, that he gave the last rites to, saw the UFO wreckage, and was told, if you ever tell anybody about this, we will kill you. We will kill your family. He gave this confession to his granddaughter on his deathbed. She's the one that brought it out. And apparently there's even a picture that was taken of the crash and the aliens that's never been recovered. But you talk about Roswell as being the most important UFO crash in history. But right here in our backyard of Cape Girardeau, there was one that predates it.
There was one that predates it and is more interesting to me just because who called the clergy, I don't know what you,
the government.
Either pastor.
Preacher,
or,
the
well,
government.
You would assume, but why would the government issue last rites?
Last rites to
an alien being?
Yeah.
Unless they thought it was human at first.
Or maybe they just didn't know how to go about it.
Or the government wasn't the first people on the scene.
That's true. And I'm sure someone saw something.
The first people,
wanted people
went,
to think
okay,
it was
we
a...
need emergency people out here.
Right.
So, you know, fire trucks, policemen. Which is how the military was contacted, and we need medical people.
Yeah.
And because everybody, especially back then, was very religious, we need religious officials.
Because if there was a crash, your first, especially in those days, because, you know, UFO sightings have been around forever. You can even, and Lindsay and Allie, I know you guys, and Calvin too, because you're all artists, you guys know this better than anybody, that in classic paintings, there are lots of flying, unidentified flying
things
objects.
Things you don't know what they are.
Right, and there are beams coming from them. I mean, there have been UFOs reported through history, cave drawings, hieroglyphics, I mean, and all kinds of things. But it wasn't popular. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, it wasn't so well known. If you were in the 40s and you saw a crash like that, your first instinct is that's an airplane. And I'm going to call the police. Police come out there, find that it ain't what they thought it was. So then they call the government. Government comes out, shuts the whole thing down, swears everyone to secrecy, and life goes on. This is something they do. The Men in Black movie is based on a real thing, the Men in Black, who will go and shut you up if you try to talk about stuff.
Although I'm unclear, even to today, of if the Men in Black are our government agency, or if they're an alien government agency acting within our government.
It's both.
It could be both.
All reports that I've ever seen about the Men in Black have always been that they looked human, but something was off.
Yeah.
You know, that they didn't act normal, that they looked like they were trying to pretend to be human.
And they didn't talk normal. They talked very... they didn't use a lot of articles.
Yeah, very robotic.
Yeah, and it was apparently in a pattern. Their cadence was, like, always the same. It was always dictated. They would say it in a certain pattern.
And their skin was an odd color. They looked... Just it looked odd. Like, they were off-putting.
They walked weird. There's actually a video of two of them entering
a hotel lobby.
A hotel lobby, yeah.
Trying to look for someone who had reported a UFO.
They look very stiff.
They look very stiff. They look like someone wearing a human suit, Allie. I know you know what that's about.
They look like two toddlers.
That's implying that you're an alien. I am sorry.
And they look like two toddlers on each other's shoulders trying to get into a bar.
It's two aliens on each other's shoulders.
Right?
It's
two of the
grays. It's the dogs in a trench coat.
Yeah. Now, the best Men in Black... obviously, was not the movie. It was the X-Files episode where the Men in Black were Jesse Ventura and Alex Trebek. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. I had always hoped that after I saw my UFOs when I was younger, that the Men in Black would come visit me and shut me up. As far as I know, that never happened. But to be fair,
they could have flashy thinged you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because pre-16, 15 is a huge blur for me. I get flashes of things.
Do you remember, they call it like clicking on, but do you remember when your brain just suddenly was like, oh, I'm fully loaded now, I can remember things? Like there's a point in people's history that they can remember as the first moment that they remember.
I don't know what it is.
And people who don't have that memory, some people think that it's either a brain condition. Some people think it's an early indicator of Alzheimer's.
No. Oh, good.
I don't have that memory either.
My father had dementia and Alzheimer's onset.
Well, I mean, our family's not all that set either. But the other thing is that it's because your memory isn't intact.
Right. It's scrambled.
Yeah.
I'd like to believe that.
Me too.
Because I remember being a kid and sitting in my room, and I would hear movement, I'd hear voices, I'd be too scared to look from under my covers because there was somebody in the room with me. And this wasn't sleep paralysis, because I have sleep paralysis, and that's completely different because you're laying there and you can't move. I could move. Mm-hmm. I just remember being terrified. I didn't want to go to sleep. I was scared to look out my window, but I could never explain why. Nothing mm-hmm. ever happened.
It was like being scared of the dark, but you're not scared of the dark specifically. It's just scared of this unknown thing.
There's something in the dark, probably.
Yeah.
And older now, and I've told Lindsay this before, when we, shared a room, that I would wake up and there'd be red lights in the room. And I never knew what it was. Like, I wasn't asleep. I saw it. So, could I have been abducted by aliens? I don't know. Like, I think it sounds outlandish, but is it really that outlandish?
Well, and especially...
Because I'm odd. I'm very odd.
Although, for somebody so odd, you're oddly charismatic.
No, that's the alien.
Okay.
That's the alien I make.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's what that does. Did I ever tell you about the time that I thought Lindsay was an alien?
You still think I'm an alien.
She's not an alien?
Legitimately, I woke
up... My dentist thinks I'm an alien.
She's never had a cavity. I've never had a cavity.
Human children have cavities. My dentist has been saying I'm an alien since I was a munchkin.
You have a cavity now.
No.
That's creepy.
You have a couple of them.
No.
Get it? Cavity in your body.
Wow.
Yeah. That took a while, didn't it? I woke up in the middle of the night and Lindsay was like, what's wrong? And I looked at her and I swear I saw her face do that lizard people thing.
He backed up against the wall.
You know, where it like kind of shifts. Creepy. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's like chameleon skin.
Yeah.
But
so I backed up against the wall and I told her to get off me. And I was sure she was there to replicate me and that she was going to replace me with a fake Shannon.
We doing the Replicant Man quest in Fallout? What's going on?
I don't think I did that one.
Really?
Which was that?
It's Fallout 3. The whole premise to when they set up Fallout 4 is going to the Institute. Because the android is there.
Is the one you meet him and he's like weird?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But
This is Fallout 3?
Yeah, the Replicant.
It's been so long. I don't remember many of the quests from Fallout 3. We're also just about out of time.
That's fair.
Unfortunately. Oh, God. I could talk about aliens forever because it's a fascinating subject for me. Mm-hmm. If I'm interested in... I'm most interested in the paranormal, like ghosts, the afterlife, stuff like that. Mostly because that affects me forever. Mm-hmm. If there's no afterlife, then my research stops. But if there is an afterlife, if there is reincarnation, ghosts even, then I can come back and maybe do this again as a different person. But I'm super interested in aliens as well, just because, I mean, to really think that we're the only beings in an entire universe.
Statistically impossible,
and also really lonely.
Yeah.
You know?
You got the Calvin and Hobbes syndrome. The Calvin and Hobbes standing in front of the cut down tree stump, and they're like, I can't tell if aliens would visit us, even if they did exist.
Oh.
You've never seen that strip?
No.
It's kind of in a deep strip, but it goes into little nuanced things about how if aliens are out there, they probably don't really want to know us.
I wouldn't.
Or they came here a long, long, long time ago and saw how screwed up we already were.
Well, they built the pyramids.
I know. Apocalypse.
That's a theory.
They came here a long, long time ago and screwed us up.
Yeah.
Or that.
Maybe, you know, the other theory that we can't even get into tonight right now because we don't have time is that maybe God is an alien.
Well, that's the origins, yeah. Genesis
that
idea.
We think of God as a heavenly celestial being, but maybe God is just another entity from another planet. Like Lindsay said, we're an ant farm.
Or dimension or yeah, know, whatever.
So, I mean, yeah, does it sound outlandish? Of course it does. But you never know. In 1,000 years, well, they certainly won't have podcasts because people will have far evolved beyond the need for mindless chit-chat.
Yeah, we'll have commercials like just broadcast in our brains, and you'll want those underwear.
Oh, man.
Dropping Futurama references. There you go. By the way, what was the only episode of Futurama that won an Emmy? Roswell that ends
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, with the...
Yeah, there you go. Full circle. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being here. Have a good one. And Allie, tell Calvin to take us out.
Calvin, take us out.
Wubble up a dub dub.
Son of a bitch, don't do that.
What are you going to say?